Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we did ruin Wordle for a guy, so apologies for that. In hour number one, Curtis, 310 texter. Ruined Wordle. You didn't actually give the word.
No.
Just the definition of the word. But longtime listeners know what the word is.
Right. Raisin.
Yeah. What's the word, if you had to pick one for the Red Sox right now? One word.
Melancholy.
It's anxiety for me.
I just think of Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, by the way, quick squirrel moment. College football pick.
Ooh.
Lock it up.
And by the way, you were 2-0 last week,
2-0.
Even though you had said you retired, but
right,
you came out of retirement.
Back in. And just so people know, I do not actually place bets. This is just what I would do.
Uh-huh.
Notre Dame -6.5 tonight against Texas A&M.
See, I hate your Notre Dame picks. That's the one I don't trust you for, because there's an inherent something there. You just set them up for failure. Or
I think I went 3-0 in my Notre Dame picks last year.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Texas A&M is always overrated. Notre Dame is actually one of the – Marcus Freeman does a great job. They're at home Saturday night in South Bend. I think they win by a touchdown.
How about your Eagles? Late night.
Against Stanford?
Yeah.
If they lose to a tree, I'm out. No, I have no understanding. 10:30 kickoff. Talk about just wasting. You only get 12 of these. One of them is at midnight. Yeah. What are we doing?
Let's. By the way, chance for you and I to be at the Clemson game, probably going to be mid-afternoon. But if they bump it up earlier, maybe we'll do a pregame.
Where? Well, when?
Over at
what time of year?
Next month, I believe.
All right.
How do you not know their schedule?
I don't have it in my head. I'm sorry.
We'll confirm that. It's just early discussions. Let's go to one of our great Red Sox fans in Jersey, Ryan, on the Sox. What's your word for the Red Sox right now, Ryan?
Ooh. I would say,
diarrhea.
Missed opportunity.
Oh.
Yeah, missed opportunity is what, but I'll get to that in a second. First off, since I'm not a Pats fan, obviously I hate the Pats being from Pittsburgh originally, but one thing I noticed when you guys talk about it, because I listen to your station a lot, so NFL is king, is the difficulty in any dynasty coming back plays out in the numbers. So if you look at, like, say, the four dynasties prior to the Pats, it took them 30, 25, and now 30 for the Cowboys, 26 for the Steelers, and over 30 years for the Niners to come back and win a Super Bowl. So too many things have to go right for teams to win Super Bowls. And I think the underrated thing about the Pats dynasty, obviously I respect them, I hate them, but I respect them, is that it wasn't just Brady and it wasn't just Belichick. It was the fact they got players to come in, put their egos aside, and buy the BS that both Belichick and the Kraft dish out, as far as being cheapskates, as far as cutting guys, stuff of that nature. So the Pats, you guys really need to strap in. It could be a very long time before you get, because that is over. That part, I think, is key, and that is over. You're not going to have modern players, you know, sacrifice for the team concept the way that they got under Brady, with Brady in there.
It's a great point, Ryan. I would slightly push back. I understand the realities of the actual years it took. When the Niners win with two quarterbacks, I still think that's a continuation for a brief period. However,
correct.
The cap used to mean something. It doesn't anymore. Revenue is exploding. And so the Chiefs have chosen to be cheap. They could have a better roster. And the only reason they don't is because they're making the same mistake the Krafts and Belichick made, which is our quarterback will just elevate everybody and we'll be fine.
I know.
And I think the Eagles are a team. I mean, they've been in how many Super Bowls now? So they won in 17. They lost in 23. And they won in 24.
Mm-hmm. I'm right across the river from Philly. Trust me, they've been in three. I remember every excruciating moment of them. So don't.
But so they could. You know, I mean, the odds are it's just. I think it's easier. It's easier, I think, to maintain and get back because of the way the pay structure has been. But I do think you make a good point that the Patriots are by far, by no means alone in their inability to find their traction after a dynastic run.
Yeah. Okay. Moving real brief for the Red Sox. Here's the problem. I think what's going to happen, and I know they're going to explain it away, whether they do or don't make the playoffs, they're obviously not going to go deep. If they make it, I guess you say, well, you'd rather them. I mean, they got us through the summer, which is something they haven't done in 5 years, basically. So if I guess you say, well, you'd rather get a little bit of experience and get a playoff, even if they get knocked out in the Bronx quickly, which would suck. The problem is that baseball sucks. There are no really good teams in the entire league. I'm not buying Milwaukee, but I'll give them credit, the Cubs, the Phillies. But they play this like a team that says, oh, well, we'll be back next year. Trust the process, that kind of stuff. Because they had major flaws from spring training. They dumped their best player, didn't replace them. They relied on Tristan Casas to knock in 100 runs, and he's a dip. Like, they tried to offload him. But, you know, the same approach, core worrying about guys being fresh for now, by the way. And I don't, you know, but little Bobby Hamilton still gets to take his glove and go play every other day. Like, this approach is driving me nuts because I get it. There's a difference. Scooble went down yesterday with a side issue, and his comments after the game is like, well, you know, our trainers are good. They'll work it out. We'll be okay. Roman Anthony looked like, you know, his dog got shot when he pulled that muscle. And like, my body is a temple. I don't know. This is the worst pain I've ever had in my life. So there's just this take it easy kind of attitude. You are not going to be back next year with five more wins and winning the division. That is a guarantee that will not come true.
All right, Ryan. Thank you. Good stuff, Ryan.
Fun fact, Greg Hill's body is a golden temple.
Oh, jeez. I love Golden Temple, Brookline staple.
I went there once. DA got absolutely bamboozled.
Oh, right.
Wild night. And it was the night of the crazy Titans 56-0 Patriots blowout in the snow.
Ooh.
Wild.
Do you think Ryan is correct? The entire organization this year has just not been aggressive enough. Too relaxed.
Totally. It's something I talk about to the point of being mocked, but it is not a championship-driven organization today.
Not urgent enough.
Right.
And the shame of it is,
the offensive line in and of itself is not championship.
Well, no, I meant Red Sox, not Pats.
Oh, Red Sox. Yeah, I think they had an opportunity at the deadline to make this a championship roster, and they failed. They did not want it. They were risk-averse.
Risk-averse is a good one. They did, you know, the crochet trade helps. Bregman helps fight that narrative. But that's about it.
But this is why I pushed back against Greg about the Roman Anthony money being the Devers savings. It's not. The Roman Anthony, Chapman, and Crochet are all deals that are team-friendly, which is great. Like, of course, you want to. If you can do a team-friendly deal, you do it. But Devers' deal did not. If Devers were still here, they would have been able to give that Roman Anthony deal. They would have been able to give the Aroldis Chapman deal, right? I mean, the one that is a standalone is Bregman. And the organization is in a tough spot because Boris knows they're in that spot, and Bregman is going to have options. And if they don't bring Bregman back and they make the playoffs and he plays well, then there's going to be further consternation about what this owner is going to do. And next year is the last year of baseball for a long time, I believe. They're going to enter a lockout, the CBA concludes, and they are going to try and force a cap on baseball, and it's going to get ugly.
What happens to contracts in that second year if it's a lockout? Are they erased or do they?
I don't know. Can I have a copy of my contract? I need to look over that.
You have a contract. It was on a napkin with Zerbano.
HC, NEP.
But like if they sign Schwarber for a huge deal, but only the first year matters because it's a lockout. Does the contract go away?
I would assume if you signed a contract, they have to honor it, unless you all, like during COVID, we all took like the 20% haircut.
Yeah. Now back on the Patriots, you said the Patriots made a mistake by taking the cheap approach during the dynasty.
Correct.
But they wouldn't say that. Kraft would say we were brilliant. That's what enabled us to keep the dynasty going in its second iteration. There was no mistake. We won six.
That was what enabled him to get that nice elevator built in the Hamptons.
But unlike these other, I guess the Niners did, to your point, to a little bit. They came back and won another. But nobody has ever done that. Win three, take a break, and come back and win three more? That is incredible.
Right, really. Because no quarterback has played that long.
Yeah, but... Yeah, no, you don't want to give them credit, but Kraft and Bill had something to do with
it. How does it look before and after?
And they drafted.
How has it looked before and after?
Well, yeah, but it was 20 years in the middle. I mean, you have to be happy with that. No, nobody will ever duplicate that.
So you think the Patriots fans should be okay with Super Bowl 52?
Yes, you should be in the grand scheme of it, yes.
Look at the Patriots tough, in 2013 and 2015. You think they should be okay with those rosters? Mm-hmm. It's an abomination.
Wes Welker.
Wes Welker won on the Broncos in those years.
Let's go to Pats or Sox?
Pats.
Dan in Rhode Island, been hanging on the longest. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Just want to preface this real quick. I do not say this is the outcome or it's going to be an exact match because there's still way too much time. But a couple of things that I see in Drake May that I also saw 30 years ago now to age myself is a much more mobile version. But some bad habits, and what I mean bad habits is happy feet, which I don't think you can really, I don't know if you can ever coach somebody out of that, but like locking in on one receiver, your first read all the time. That was Drew Bledsoe's hallmarks. Now, he was a statue back there, but when I see May, I kind of see a lot of the same things that I saw in Bledsoe, and that's what he did his whole career. He was still a decent quarterback, but he always had those bad habits that he never really, you know, could shake, and that was always this thing, plus being a statue. That's it.
All right, Dan, thank you. Now, Curtis, do you agree with Scheim generally is supporting the let Drake cook theory that has popped up this week, that maybe he's thinking too much or they've told him not to run or whatever it is? So some of those things that the caller's talking about, the bad habits, are being caused by the coordinators or the coaching, or is this just the player?
So I think both can be true. My immediate takeaway watching the Patriots in week one and seeing Drake May was that he was told under no circumstances are you running down the field and not sliding immediately.
Right. And I don't have a problem with that, really.
But that's a case where you need the preseason to start doing that.
This was the preseason.
Okay. Great. We can agree to disagree that it was actually a regular season game. Like, watching him... the first thing that he would do, so he would look at at his first option, his first read. If that was covered, he would then sort of scamper out and be like, oh, crap, I have to slide. That it was herky-jerky. It was not at all congruous. It looked like he was helter-skelter out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for going forward, a huge part of his game is running. It's also going to give him more time in the pocket because if guys fear him of getting outside of containment, they may not be as aggressive running upfield against their porous offensive line. You need him to be who he is, and if that's going to be a guy that's going to get hit down the field, it will. You know, you'll learn and you'll take those lumps with it. But
O-line was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
generally.
I mean,
not perfect, but better.
The false starts were inexcusable in that game. But yes, better than I thought. Maybe that's an indictment on what we expected.
Good 203 text. See if you agree with this. Not concerned about whether Drake May can be a good quarterback. I think he can and will be. Concerned about whether he can and will be great enough to win a Super Bowl and be a franchise-level QB.
Yeah. Well, he's nowhere near that right now.
Not right now. We are near trending. Lots of calls. Sox, Pats. We are at Fenway Park, broadcasting from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And check out the New England edition of the Ford F-150. It is awesome. That is the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Here is Tom and what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you concerned at all about how important it is for Drake May to win? Do you think it's the most important thing for him?
God, I hope so. I mean, I hope it, winning is as important for everybody. And I want the best from everybody. I want a competitive spirit. And if I don't see that, you know, then we'll have to make decisions and changes at every level.
Now, I like that answer from Vrabel, Curtis, but you didn't love it or didn't think it's a great indication of how he feels about Drake?
God, I hope so is not how I would have answered that if I believed in someone.
Yeah, but I don't think he needs to lie. He doesn't know yet. He just got here, right? And that goes for every player, I think, on his team.
Wait, so you think Mike Vrabel doesn't lie to the media in support of his team? Of course, every good coach would do that.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure they all do at some point. We all do. But I think he's got to just be real.
Like
when coming
people
in.
Ask you about Jackson.
I tell the truth. I try to be authentic in everything I do.
Right.
Don't you think that's a better approach? Just be, hey, I don't know. I hope so. God, I hope so. I hope they all have this. I hope they all want to win. Otherwise, we're making changes.
Honestly,
that's not a bad answer.
Honestly, it's one of the few times that they've actually been not giving the easy answer for Drake May. So I guess I should be happy with it that they're not coddling him and saying,
right.
Yeah, I've seen it.
True.
It's impossible to define. But there is something different in a guy like Mahomes than in a guy like Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, or even Josh Allen. Until you see them climb the mountain, you can't say that you saw it beforehand.
I forget how you felt about Allen, because I was a big skeptic. I remember in year two almost bashing him, and I was wrong. How did you feel about him?
I think there was a wild card game where he played horrible, I think against Houston. I don't know. There was a game. I was at Gillette before a Patriots playoff game watching Josh Allen embarrass himself. So I can't say I saw this, but he dominated the Patriots. Like, the way he played was Bill's defense struggled immensely against Josh Allen.
They concussed him once. I mean, I just thought he ran too much and was too reckless. So I'm just trying to learn from a past flub, which you point out all the time. I've got plenty. And not put that on Drake too soon. He deserves a little bit of leash.
This is as easy as an apples to apples comparison as you can make when it comes to Mac Jones and Drake May. You have the same coordinator. You have rosters that are relatively similar on offense. And
they had a better O-line for Mac. They did.
Okay, but Drake's more elusive, so that's negated.
Yes, but they're not letting him run. We agree. They probably told him not to run week one.
If he has the same or worse stats as Mac Jones did in 2021, that is a failure.
How about Mac tomorrow? Are you excited about that?
Shime, I love having these influencers and making bets against Shime. It is so fun.
Plus, he gets the Saints. What a great spot.
Oh, I love it.
Grittying all day.
If ever there was a coach that can maximize someone at quarterback, it is Kyle Shanahan. That deal they gave Purdy is going to be so stupid. Ish. God, is he overrated.
240 text. Ken and Curtis, like many, I've been a diehard Pats fan for a very long time. I don't see the fire in Drake May. Nervous. Looks very unsettled. I know he's young, but he is not a mentally tough guy. Mac Jones 2.0.
Yeah, I don't see it in Drake. I mean, that's true. We don't really see it until it's there, although with the true greats, you do. I mean, Peyton Manning was a great player who failed to do his best in the playoffs, but from even in his rookie year where he set the record for interceptions. I mean, This is a third overall pick. This is a guy that should be, by the end of year two, a very good quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not appear to be on that track.
But better than Caleb?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like Jaden Daniels is the winner of that draft. I don't think it's...
And the Packers made him look ordinary, for the most part.
I just love week one, because after that lead, the drive where I think Caleb went 6 for 6, another 20-yard touchdown run, everybody was like, wow, big year two jump for Caleb Williams. All he needed was Ben Johnson, and then...
Wouldn't you rather get blown out than to lose the way the Bears did at home?
I have to say, of all the star-crossed fan bases, the Chicago Bears, in their inability, they have still, I believe, never had a quarterback throw for 3,500 yards. 3,500 yards! It is literally the graveyard of quarterbacks. They are, no matter who it is.
Caleb will get that this year, just based on who he is and who Ben Johnson is.
Just imagine you're a fan of a team that has never had a quarterback, and you trade to the second pick in the draft to get Mitchell Trubisky. You give up first-round picks to move up to 2 to take Trubisky while Patrick Mahomes goes at 10.
Yeah, same with the Browns. They've got Flacco at quarterback. Get a quarterback.
At least the Browns have won a playoff game with Baker Mayfield recently.
And where's he? Let's go to Jason Adairy on the Pats. Hi, Jason.
How you guys doing? I think the Crafts get like a free ride in town. Since Bob Kraft took ownership, I think they're 31 out of 32 teams in spending. And then you guys mentioned earlier, the last 3 years, the O-line has been awful. This year, going into the offseason, they had the most cap room in the league. And big surprise, they come out of the offseason with still the most cap room in the league. They missed out on the tackle from Baltimore. So they said, oh, we give up. We don't sign anybody except for Moses, who's like a swing tackle at best. I think it's a joke. And I think the Crafts get a free ride here.
All right, Jason, I think in the past they have, but I do not believe they continue to get a free ride. The stat of the summer was really the Don Van Natta piece, that for the 30 years of their ownership, they ranked 31st in the NFL in spending, which is just staggering. When you consider the amount of money they made on all those playoff gates, it is unbelievable.
Now, one silver lining this past week, and it was only an exhibition game in my mind,
yeah,
but Landry looked good. That's huge. They need him to be a difference maker. They did spend money on the defense.
You know how you win? You bring in guys from BC.
Okay, well, there. They gave him $43 million, $26 million guaranteed. They need him to be Judon, some semblance of Judon. He was pretty good.
Judon, talk about a guy falling off a cliff.
Yeah, disappeared. Don't cross Jerod Mayo and win.
I mean, Judon at one point was the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year a couple years ago.
And Carlton Davis, like the secondary looked out of sorts, but he looked promising, at least if they get
that third together. And 20 is such that's a bad. I mean, that's unvrayable. How do you do that? Awful.
They're taking chances because they just feel like they need to be risky.
Wouldn't you say the two plays that define that game, one was the 4th and 10 where you punt, and the other was 3rd and 20?
Yep, correct. Or Drake airmailing a guy in the first series or whatever it was there.
Not great.
Let's go to Chad and Chelsea, back over to the Red Sox, I believe. Hi, Chad.
How are you today?
Good.
I was just wondering, next time you have that phony on Sam Kennedy, you want to interview him? Ask him when the nerds are sitting behind the computers calculating everything, what their calculations come out to when you have more errors as a team than one of the this year's Colorado Rockies are going to go down in history as one of the worst teams ever in baseball history, and we have more errors than they do. It's been 4 or 5, Curtis, I've called before. I know you know my voice. I've called 5 years in a row now with Alex Cora. We get worse every year defensively. Every year it gets worse. I don't know how much longer I can take. Like, what is the expectation of how far they can go when you lead the league in errors?
Last night, Chad, they're throwing home, missing cutoff guys. They were definitely like wild. They have a team that's now bit parts from Worcester, and like they do seem discombobulated lately, like the last couple games.
Yeah, Cora's had some issues. I don't know how you in Major League Baseball, it's just different. You don't blame the manager for a team's inability to make defensive plays, do you?
Sure.
How is it Cora? What is Cora supposed to do? Teach a guy how to hit a cutoff, man? You learn that in Little League.
Well, you got to reinforce it constantly, I guess. I like this little tweet from Jen McCaffrey.
Reinforce it constantly? What does that even mean?
I mean, you know, like you come in the morning, I talk about your questions and what you need to do to tweak them. And
Right.
Send you articles.
So you mean like get in fielder's position?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jen McCaffrey, her story last night. Alex Bregman sat at his locker in a quiet Red Sox clubhouse Friday night, unwilling to make too much of one loss, knowing what anxiety can do to a young team at this time of year when every game has heightened importance. But just the picture of Bregman sitting there quietly, he doesn't want to make too much of it, but wouldn't you say he's, for a guy that's been around and is the leader of this team, he knows they're in a precarious situation right now.
He knows better than anybody what a team has when it's a championship caliber team, and I don't think he feels that way right now with this Red Sox team at this point.
If they had Roman, you'd give him a chance to like go to a World Series, right?
Yeah, do you think there's nobody that will revisit the Devers trade because the team was not destroyed by his absence, or do you think if they do collapse that Devers will be a central figure?
Oh yeah, that's going to come back. As you said, it's much more in the aftermath than it is in the moment.
So,
and it was a lot in the moment.
I mean, I really think the Dustin May trade was a catalyst for this organization too.
don't write him out. You never know; could come back in the playoffs. Or is he done for the year?
I don't know. But can you not trade with the Dodgers? Like, what are you doing?
Let's go to Nate in Boston. Back over to Vrabel. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how you doing? I think that there isn't a chance Mike Vrabel wastes a word. He does not waste a word when he does an interview. I think that everything he says is trying to mentally, motivate probably everybody on the team, but most certainly Drake May. And so I think the stuff that he says on camera, it potentially could get back to the team and it'll get back to him. And kind of puts it in his head, I think. I think Belichick did that all the time.
Why did Vrabel walk things back in front of the media yesterday if he was every word that he said was planned in advance?
Because he's not that bright sometimes, probably. I mean, really, like he probably says some stuff that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's as good
as
he's
saying. It's not like he's a wizard. I'm sure he says the wrong thing all the time and then has to walk it back. But, yeah. That's in front of the media, he doesn't want to do that. He made a mistake. But, I love Vrabel, and I love the stuff that he said about the team and about if you're not on board, that wasn't just for Drake May. That was for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not on board with the organization and not on board with motivating and going forward, then, I believe him. I believe he'll get rid of people, So.
All right, Nate, good stuff. Thank you.
I would say the Vrabel knowing in advance what he's doing, that this is all pre-planned, goes out the window when you start walking what you've said back.
But it's different, though. He walked back the shot at his coach, not a shot at the player. So that might be a line he doesn't really want to cross in public, and he did.
And I don't know how we go back down this road without making it Joe Milton-based, and I really don't want to do that. I think you agree with me on this.
This was my point initially.
Right. I'm trying to give you credit.
Thank you. Would you please give me some credit?
Okay. Kenneth, what is your middle name?
Charles.
Kenneth Milhouse Laird.
Yeah.
KCL. Mm-hmm. Like it. So it wasn't that Joe Milton was what you believe to be the second coming of a hybrid of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. It was that he was someone that was a threat, real or perceived, by Drake May in the quarterback room. And the way in which they greased the skids for his departure, I think, has played a small part in Drake May not maximizing his potential because he hasn't felt like he had to win a job. There's sort of this feeling that he was given it. And everything that the dynastic runs or origin was founded upon was that there was no sacred cow. That Mike Vrabel came in, Lawyer Malloy was let go, Drew Bledsoe leaves, Rodney Harrison comes in, and it's every man for himself. There will always be competition. Some of the best competition that team faced was against their own team in their own practices. So if that's who Vrabel was, it didn't mesh with the decision about Joe Milton. Not about the talent, but what about what it meant for competition.
So why did he do it? That's my ultimate question. Was he ordered to do it? Like Kraft said, you're doing two things when you sign here. We're signing Josh McDaniels, and you're trading Joe Milton.
The only thing I can think of is that the organization, whether that's McDaniels or Kraft or both, said, Drake's done everything we've asked. if we have a shot at anything, he needs to be good. And I think this guy's going to be an impediment to that. We're going to get rid of him. And
yeah, I mean, I guess you and I don't know what we don't know. I don't know how divisive he was in there, but I totally agree with everything you just said. It defies the Vrabel way and logic and motivation and the Belichick way and everything else that motivates a guy.
Right, especially when you consider we had that caller about from Ryan in New Jersey talking about how difficult it is to reignite a dynastic run. But it really was like the Patriots really are the last team to do it because they had a 10-year gap and then they won three again.
Exactly.
And the reason they won three again, many believe, was that Belichick took Jimmy G. And what Jimmy G, Tom was working out with Beats by Dre in California. And when Jimmy G arrived, he came back and was in Boston full-time in the offseason, and that was a huge part of the team's win.
Ken and Curtis with you until noon at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Bradfo in at 12 o'clock, 12 to 3. Baseball is not boring, I'll tell you that.
No, right now it is depressing.
Let's go to Derek and Pepperell.
Ooh, Pepperell.
Oh,
hello, Derek.
Oh, I got a live in Curtis up. This, to me... First of all, the guy that just called a minute ago, in my opinion, is a freaking idiot. And the reason I say that is, yes, the errors do exist. But look where we are, guys. And does this guy watch? Has he been watching this team? We're flirting with maybe the division if they can pull it off. I'm optimistic they can. If anything, they're going to get a wild card spot. And hopefully we can get Anthony back. But I'm a very optimistic person. And Curtis, I've seen your whole tone change this year from you were saying that the Red Sox were going to do really, really well this year to then you were starting going downhill and now you're back on the train. I think this is going to be a magical season. I really do. And wow. I know you guys deep down do too, but it's I'll be there tomorrow night. I will look for you guys. Please tell Greg we're going to be there. I'd love to have a beer with you guys. And just thoroughly looking forward
to trying to get Curtis there. I got the offer right now, Curtis.
Let's do it.
Come on, let's go. He's worried about sleep. You can sleep later. Sleep when you retire.
I will. I will. I'll sleep like I usually do between 9 and 11 on Saturday mornings.
You and me, row two. Let's go.
Oh, we're sitting together?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Maybe we'll do that.
Okay.
A tentative yes.
The division is gone. I'm sorry. If they win the division, I will be shocked. They have a 2% chance to win the division.
Oh, really? Is that the
They're five back in the loss column right now.
Oh, yeah. See you later.
They would have to sweep Toronto as a must, and then the Jays have to collapse.
Yeah.
And you got to pass the Yankees.
There's been this odd pattern, Ken, where I actually enter Saturdays not as down on the Red Sox, but you live and die with this team. Like, you are all in with them. And there's been a bunch of Friday night listless performances, so yeah. Saturday morning I come in here
That's what I told you. We've had so many of these shows.
You're just down.
I'm down. Yeah. Well,
and Joe Kostig's down.
You know what I'm... Really, that Tuesday night when Roman got hurt with the oblique, that changed it all. That was just in one moment. It was like they went from a legit puncher's chance to have a magical run like Derek's talking about to just get in and not make it an embarrassment. It switched just like that.
And it's so like I was thinking about the air in Boston in October when there is a game. Like it is so great. Yep. It dwarfs the other teams in town as it pertains to just the importance of it. Like, maybe it's my own upbringing with the Red Sox and living and dying with them, but, you know, you see Go Sox on the Pru. You got everybody into it, and we're so close. And 21 was awesome. The Vasquez walk-off. You're down big in Tampa. You come back, score 8 runs. You got the one-game bomb by Bogarts at Fenway. What Bradfo says is the loudest he's ever heard Fenway Park. Second only to Kostig's retirement. When I retire, just so you know, I'm gone.
Oh, yeah, I retired last night because Stig was in the booth.
Yeah, I know.
Joe brought the scorebook back out. Yeah, I saw him pregame. He said, I haven't kept score since March. He almost forgot how. But was back out, didn't miss a beat.
I'm sure those went viral.
Plus, Pedro was in the booth, our guy.
Pedro.
Threw out the first pitch.
It's awesome.
Baratek.
I saw that. It is so cool. I get the unfortunate moniker of being negative.
Uh-huh.
But
you melt with Pedro, though.
Yesterday I almost like was a just a sobbing mess seeing the Pedro and Tim Wakefield's daughter.
Yep.
It is so great. The Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, the whole front office, how they have been so supportive of Wakefield's family following Stacy and Tim's passing in such tragic short windows of the other. And his daughter was down there and seeing Pedro. I remember, was it Trot Nixon? There was somebody on the show. Or I don't know where it was. Forgive me. But they basically, they all, oh, the 04 team was back 20 years later. And it was just very recent was the passing of Tim and Stacy Wakefield. And basically, Francona said, you know, we're, if you ever need anything, we're all here. Like, in the way the team has rallied. I know she goes to school. Is it BC or locally? Either way, Veritech loading her into her dorm. It's just that team, for so many reasons, will always be inextricably linked because of the history they made and the absolute massive behemoth they overcame. And to see those guys 20 years later stepping up for Tim when he's not around is pretty cool.
You should be on the 04 cruise, that city cruise that we've been promoting.
I know.
The 04 team is there. You should be the one ask them questions.
I know, but Kevin needs to do a shot of Jack. I can't do that right now.
All right, on Drake May, the plate question has been making the rounds this week. Is there too much on his plate, right? Has he been given too much? Afternoon show asked McDaniels about that yesterday. We'll play that for you, but I also want to get your thoughts on it.
What are your thoughts on, like, the Thanksgiving plate? Do you load it up and only go once, or do you try to do, like, smaller multiple trips?
I like multiple trips.
Yeah.
I like the buffet.
Well, because I like to do that because I don't know how good everything's going to be this year, so yeah. I don't want to put too much of something and then look like an a-hole for not eating it.
By the way, Bradford wants credit for the video, the Pedro Wakefield video.
Awesome. Good job,
great
Rob.
Great job, Rob. Thank you, Rob.
Baseball isn't boring, and that video sure wasn't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Curtis loves that one. That is Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars. It was a big win. I mean, it's worth that kind of reaction, in my opinion. You beat Carolina, as the Patriots might do in a couple weeks, Curtis. I would hope that Robert Kraft does something similar.
You know, just when you think the Krafts are bad or whatever, like, that is just, I thought it was a parody when I first heard it. Because it's like, they beat, who was an awful team there?
Carolina.
The worst team in the NFL, they win at home. The Panthers are the worst team in the NFL.
Not the Saints?
No. Well, okay, fine. Flip a coin. 31st or 32nd team in the NFL. And this, you got the Duval guy looking like not the craziest person in the room.
Tom, cue that up again. It is so good. It really is. It's worthy of a second serving.
This is what we envisioned in January, okay?
Yes, sir.
It's happening here in September. Gonna go on forever!
Now that's a t-shirt. Now, put that on the bumper sticker.
Who do they have this week? Because they're going to get their doors blown. I have to see that right now.
Good question.
The Bengals.
Ooh.
They're going to lose by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. I was a Trevor Lawrence skeptic from the beginning. I'd like to note that. He was fine in this game.
I got to tell you, embarrassment of sports riches here, not to sound like Dino. We have pennant race, pennant fever.
Yep.
You and I front row on Sunday night.
Love it.
And then we have...
Second row.
Second row. No, I don't want to go to that because 420. I'll miss the end of the Chiefs Eagles game.
What?
Chiefs Eagles 425. I don't want to miss that.
Watch it on your phone on the way over.
We'll see. And then Derek at Pepperell said he could go. And then we have Ryder Cup in a week and a half.
I've invited Principal Dave for the third seat.
It's great. I'm sure he's free. So there's the so you have Ryder Cup in a week and a half. Football's back. And how much better is the week when you have football?
It's good.
Just everything. Yeah, it's really, like
even Thursday night, you had an appointment watch.
The most depressing beginning of the end is when you start seeing like Ohio State, Indiana basketball promos on CBS, and you're just contemplating your future. Like for the next 5 months, you have your weekends preordained.
Did you like the Prime Video Next Gen view? Did you flip over to that at all?
No.
It's cool. It's really cool. You get behind. It's like you're playing a video game. They keep the regular broadcast on, so you get Al Michaels, but they spotlight the skill position guys. They have bubbles around them with their names, and you watch them run their routes in real time. It's really cool.
Yeah, not for me. I'm just a meat and potatoes guy.
Okay.
But the
are you tired of Motivate and Manning commercials yet?
I'm so tired of the Mannings. God, yeah, are they annoying.
Thank you. We agree on something.
But the other is the ratings are in for the first week. 21% improvement across the board. Over 100 million people watched the NFL in week one. It is just such a behemoth. Like, it is remarkable to me how. And then even the, what was the game? Texas, Ohio State had 20 million viewers.
Crazy.
That's more than any World Series game.
Now, you were chopping it up in the suites. Did you get any intel from Robin Glazer and all the others you were around? I mean, any secrets you'd like to spill? Or
no, other than we have been, James and I have been invited back by Sean.
Really?
Potentially week three.
Woo.
No. Patriots Steelers. I'm going to wear just an ayahuasca mask.
Yeah, I'm not believing
it. Is he the biggest douche in sports?
Well, you had Steelers Jets. It was like a douche off.
But, like, I find Aaron Rodgers, like, could you imagine? Just think about any business you own, right? You pay a guy $100 million to do nothing. It all clears. The guy cashes $100 million. He gets hurt, plays beneath the value of the deal. He leaves, beats you in week one, and says, I enjoyed rubbing it in your face? Mm-hmm. Like, in what way does he have a grievance against the Jets?
Well, they didn't treat him very good.
They gave him $100 million!
But then they make him fly back to get fired, and then...
Oh, my God. Like, I'm sorry.
You would hold a grudge for that. I mean, come on.
If I got paid $100 million, you could kick me in the nuts, and I'd say, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Okay. Can we get to this Josh McDaniels answer? Now, too much on the plate of Drake May. That's one of the narratives of the week, right? Do you agree with that assessment, generally?
Say again?
That Drake May has too much on his plate.
That was a... I don't think it's too much. I think that he is being given... There are too many voices in his ear more than too much on his plate.
So he's playing timid or anxious or scared or...
Right. He's not free.
He's overwhelmed, not, but not by playbook, by voices.
He is being overcoached.
Overcoached. Okay. All right. Now, do we have McDaniels and his answer on this with afternoon's time? Here we go.
He's just all the right things. He's a great person, great human being, really bright, high character, hard worker, team first guy, in early, stays late, cares about all the little things, wants to do anything and everything he can to improve and help the team win, does all the right things off the field. So there's just all those factors that go into that position. And in order to be good at that position, there's so many things that you need to be proficient at, and Drake is on his way to becoming that in every way. So couldn't be more excited about him.
So gushing answer from McDaniels. Now, he had time to prep for that one because at the podium the day before, he had kind of bristled, but he was asked about too much on his plate, and he said, absolutely not. We've not put too much on his plate to now or now. He's a young quarterback. He had put that caveat out there. Basically, a little bit of an excuse for Drake. Like, give him time. He's young. But that answer there is like, that's everything you'd want to hear from a coordinator about his quarterback, right?
Right.
Could be lying. What's he going to say? But that's a good answer.
So it's one of these catch-22s where the organization – is going to need Drake May to be about what they expect him to be in order to get where they want to go. And once you re-engage in the quarterback carousel and you start going back into the draft or into, you know, obviously no great quarterback makes it to free agency unless he was a player here, and you are stuck. And so they are going to outwardly say whatever is best for him. My concern is I don't know, I wasn't there in Buffalo. I didn't follow it day to day. I don't know if Josh Allen was being coddled or not coddled or how he was able to assume the role as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I just know you don't get it there this way. Like, Drake needs to be, until he masters Josh's offense, he needs to be allowed to be him. However, whatever iteration that is. Because you know what? Talk about a second-year quarterback that didn't do much. Or was it his rookie year? When did Burrow get hurt? His rookie year.
When did who get hurt?
Joe Burrow. When did he blow out his
knee? Oh, Burrow.
Was it his first or second year? I think it was his first
year. His first year, Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, worst-case scenario, in 3 weeks, Drake gets, you know, blows out his leg, and then he's out the rest of the year. Then you'll be picking in the top five again, maybe get a receiver. Like, you just... You're not going to get anywhere if he's playing the position the way he did last set on Sunday against the Raiders.
Do you think my concern is McDaniels is so intertwined when he's a coordinator in New England with Brady and his ability to digest everything?
Yeah.
And do you think that, I mean, how could you not be, right? Like, you, this is what you had success with here. You taught Brady a certain way. He handled it all.
And but he didn't teach Brady anything.
Okay, but they worked together.
I mean, Charlie Weiss teach Brady.
But either way, even if Brady taught him everything, don't you
say taught?
Don't you think McDaniels would be like, "Here's what Brady did. You do this," you know?
I don't. But I think that would be a dumb thing to say.
Well, I hope.
There's no. You know what I mean? Like, talk about filling shoes that you'll never be able to fill. Drake May has very. He's much more skilled outside the pocket than Brady was. I mean, there's things he does far better.
Well, that's gonna be the hardest thing for McDaniels and May together is to overcome that pass.
But you can't coach scared. You can't coach telling him what he can't do. You got to coach telling him how to do what he needs to do.
All right. More concerned with. By the way, the poll was 50-50.
I mean, I'll go check.
Concern about Drake May is one question we're discussing. Concern about a Red Sox collapse, which is greater? 617-779-7937. Ken and Curtis, a bonus
can we
hour.
This guy, I know we're up against it, but I do want to sneak this.
No, we're going to tease this. We're going to take that question next.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.